Just want to give you some background. We're not actually going to be in Chronicles today. We're going to start here to just kind of give us the setting. I like to know kind of where we're at and what's going on before we just jump into the pool, right? We like to, before we go swimming, we dip our toe in to know, what am I about to get into? Well, that's kind of 2 Chronicles chapter 36. We are at the last two kings of the nation of Israel. Well, actually, the tribe of Judah. Israel, okay, quick history lesson, right? I feel like I keep moving back. Pretty soon I'm going to be outside. All right. So over here, we have King Saul, King David, King Solomon. After Solomon, the kingdom splits into two. There's 10 northern tribes called Israel, 2 southern tribes called Judah. No good kings, not a one in Israel. Some good kings in Judah. At this point in 2 Chronicles chapter number 36, Israel has already been fully taken captive. We're at the last two kings. As we read in 2 Chronicles chapter number 36, if we look at, here's in verse 8, "Now the rest of the acts of Jehoiakim and his abominations which he did, and that which was found in him, behold, they are written in the book of the kings of Israel and Judah, and Jehoiachin, his son, reigned in his stead." Look at this. Little joker's 8 years old, the Bible says in verse 9. Say, why do you call him a joker? Because even at 8, he did that which was evil in the sight of the Lord. 8-year-olds got rule of the kingdom. How long did he last? Bible says 3 months, 10 days. And that's about as long as I would want to be underneath a king that's 8 years old that doesn't care about the things of God. Say, yeah, 8-year-olds, King Josiah, he did all right. You can study him out. Next is King Zedekiah. He will be the last king of our Old Testament. And as we read about King Zedekiah, he takes the throne at age 21. Say, how does he leave it? Well, let's look at verse 15. This is the last bit of Israel. If you're reading this, this is a sad state of affairs. They have completely abandoned the things of God. And because of that, time and time and time and time and not enough times to say time, God has demonstrated mercy and grace. And now finally, Israel is being judged. The Bible says in 2 Chronicles chapter number 36 and verse 15, "And the Lord God of their fathers sent to them by his messengers, rising up," the Bible says, "betimes." Say, I'm not familiar with that betimes means. It means plenty of time, early enough. He sent messengers. He warned them. He says, hey, listen to me. But they didn't. And sending because he had compassion on his people. And on his dwelling place. Hey, the Lord reached out to them. We read about the prophets. Hey, don't do this. You go down this way and it's destructive. It's going to be hurtful to you. And they didn't care. The Bible says in verse 16, not only did they not care, but they mocked, the Bible says. But they mocked the messengers of God and despised his word and misused his prophets until the wrath of the Lord arose against his people. Look at now, till there was no remedy. That's sad. Therefore, he brought upon them the king of the Chaldees, who slew their young men with the sword in the house of their sanctuary. They had no compassion on the young man or maiden, old man or him that stooped for age. Gave them all into his hand. All the vessels of the house of God, great and small, and the treasures of the house of the Lord, and the treasures of the king, and of his princes, all these he brought to Babylon. They burnt the house of God, and they break down the wall of Jerusalem, and burnt all the palaces thereof with fire, and destroyed all the goodly vessels thereof, and them that had escaped from the sword carried he away to Babylon. For they were servants to him and his sons until the reign of the kingdom of Persia. To fulfill the word of the Lord by the mouth of Jeremiah. Until the land be enjoyed her Sabbaths. For as long as she lay desolate, she kept Sabbath to fulfill 80 years. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, Lord, we read this passage and it's grieving to our heart. It's grieving because it could have been prevented. They had so many opportunities to get right, so many opportunities to turn towards you, and they mocked those things. God, I can see ourselves in the very same passage. How many times have you warned us? How many times have you come to us? How many times have you demonstrated your mercy and your grace? And yet, by our actions, we have mocked the warnings. Lord, I pray that you'd help us here today to be attentive to your leading. And I pray this all in Jesus' name. Amen. I understand that we are not the nation of Israel, but I understand this also. God is who He is. And as the choir sang, and God is a holy God, and that has not changed. Amen. And God desires things from His people, whether it be the church or the nation of Israel. That's our setting here today. As we turn but a few pages to the right to Nehemiah chapter number 1. It's been a number of years now. Nehemiah is an Israelite. He's living in the land of captivity. And as we just read, there are no more kings. There is no more house of God. There are no more walls. Nehemiah, in chapter number 1, the words of Nehemiah, the son of Hakaliah. It came to pass in the month of Chislu, in the 20th year, as I was in Shushan, the palace, that Hanani, one of my brethren, came, he and certain men of Judah, and I asked them concerning the Jews that had escaped, which were left of the captivity, and concerning Jerusalem. He heard about some people back in Jerusalem that escaped the captivity and were able to stay there and keep the land from growing wild. The Bible tells us in verse 3, and they said unto me, the remnant that are left in captivity, look at now, there in the province are in great affliction and reproach. Why is that? Well, I'll tell you. The wall of Jerusalem also is broken down, and the gates thereof are burned with fire. And it came to pass when I heard these words that I sat down, he says, and wept, and mourned certain days, and fasted and prayed before the God of heaven. That's the state of Israel at this point. God had said, I've been compassionate, I've been merciful. I've been a warning. You didn't heed my warning. And now judgment. There is no longer a king that can even do evil in the sight of the Lord. It is but a wasteland. The nation of Israel is in complete captivity by a heathen nation. And here Nehemiah, as he serves yes, he still is a man of character, but he is serving a heathen king. Not in his homeland, taken captive. We all watched some of those home repair shows. In an hour, well, or 45 minutes, somehow miraculously, a family can evaluate 3 homes, buy 1, and by the end of that hour are moving into a completely renovated home. Have you ever seen these shows before? A familiar one is maybe Fixer Upper or something like that. Chip and Joanna Gaines, we're familiar with them. Chip's favorite part of the job process is what? Demo day. Have you ever used a sledgehammer, like a full sledgehammer? Not like a heavy hammer, but a full sledgehammer. Those are destructive. Those, when the sledgehammer hits the wall, it is anything but violent. It is violent to the most nth degree. Destructive. You put your hand there and say, you know what, hold on, don't hit this spot right here. And that hammer hits it, it's going right through your hand. You know, God helps us in our life by putting up some walls of protection around us. The purpose of those walls of protection is to keep the world out of it. And then we as believers, throughout the course of our walk of faith, allow sin to come into our life. And what that does is like that violent hammer up against the walls, and it's destructive and violent. And here, hey, we sing that song, Holy is He. And God commands us and tells us, hey, be holy for I am holy. But I've also talked to a lot of people that have made some decisions, poor decisions, sinful decisions, and have reaped the consequences of sinful decisions. And you know what those are? Those are destructive and hurtful and violent. You know what sin does? It breaks lives. It's like the nation of Babylon or the Chaldeans or the Persians coming into the promised land and just wiping it out. And maybe that describes your life to some degree. Sin has come through and it has leveled your walls. It has destroyed anything that which is good. And here you are, taken captive. Last time I checked, my door was locked before I left the house, and we're talking spiritually speaking. Go with me to 2 Timothy chapter number 3. Say, what does that look like? Well, 2 Timothy chapter number 3. The Bible warns us, hey, God is really good at warning. No one can tell God, God, I didn't know. I didn't know about sin. I didn't know about the consequences of sin. You never told me. Ever see your children do something foolish and you're like, I told you not to do that. Well, I didn't hear you. Right? Anybody ever hear that? Ever say that? Oh, of course not. Yeah. 2 Timothy chapter number 3. Verse 1, know this. Then the last days, perilous times shall come. This is what destroying the walls of character and protection look like. For men shall be lovers of their own selves, covetous, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful and unholy, without natural affection, truce breakers, false accusers, incontinent, fierce, despisers of those that are good, traitors, heady, high-minded, lovers of pleasure more than lovers of God, having a form of godliness, but denying the power thereof, from such turn away. Hey, Paul is telling Timothy. He says, hey, I'm going to warn you against some things amongst believers. This isn't heathen. This is perilous times coming. I believe we may be living in this state of affairs. Could we not look over this passage and go, oh yeah, I see that. And unfortunately, it's no longer, I see that out there. But has this transpired into here? I don't know how you could not read this list and not to some degree say yes. To some degree, that does describe me. Look at verse 6. For of this sort are they which creep into houses and lead captive silly women laden with sins, led away with diverse lusts, ever learning and never able to come into the knowledge of the truth. Do you see that word? And lead captive. That's exactly what happened with the nation of Israel. The walls were destroyed, the house of God was destroyed, and either those young men were killed are taken captive. And that's exactly what sin does in our life today. So I'm going to tamper with some of these things here. You'll be destroyed. This is what leads people into captivity. Oh, it's not so bad. It is incredibly sorrowful. It is incredibly hurtful. It is incredibly destructive. And that's why we have the book of Nehemiah. That's why we have, why do I got to read Chronicles to warn us of the exact same thing? You let the walls down, you let sin in, and you're going to be taken captive. He uses the word captive. I'm not going to ask that you lift your hand. But how many of you experienced this? Again, just answering in your own heart. This firsthand. I have experienced the destructive nature of sin. That is actually where I'm at. And yes, Pastor, it is incredibly sorrowful. Go back to Nehemiah chapter number 1. Much like the destroying of the walls, it is violent and terrible and ugly and sad. Nehemiah chapter number 1, look at verse 4 again. And it came to pass when I heard these words. Look at what Nehemiah, he heard about this. And I sat down and wept. How many times have you heard of someone falling by the wayside of sin and getting involved in things and destroying their life, sin coming through and taking something that which is beautiful and making it ugly? And what do you just want to do? You just want to sit down. And weep. Because there were warnings. Remember years ago talking to a young student, pleading with her to choose the things of God. She was in her right mind and said, Pastor, I don't know. I kind of want to go do my own thing. And I said, please don't do that. Every time I see her post, it is trying to pick up pieces of that decision. So what do you do? Hi, I told you. No. No. I sit with my head in my hands and I weep over the destructive nature of sin. Mothers and fathers, as their children have neglected the wisdom of God. Adults alike that have neglected the wisdom and the warning of God to tamper in sin, to be destroyed by it. And those looking on in sorrow of heart, look at chapter 2. Wherefore the king said unto me, same person, Nehemiah. Wherefore the king said unto me, why is thy countenance sad? Seeing thou art not sick. This is nothing else but sorrow of heart. Hey, that's exactly what it is. Oh, sure, you do your own life and you can walk away. Hey, you know what? You can walk out of this church and never turn back. And you know what? Next week we're probably going to sing Victory in Jesus. We're going to sing Amazing Grace. The Word of God is going to be opened and preached. And things will continue on in the things of God. But our heart is hurt and broken over the destructive nature of sin. Why? Because one of our own has been taken captive. It's sorrowful. Why? Because we're connected one to another. We're family. Loved ones, friends, literal family. It brings great sorrow. No one sits back and watches a life destroyed by sin and go, oh, that just make, oh, just melt my heart. I saw my grandmother this past week, Friday. Was it Friday? Little Grandma Russo. I get her height wrong, but she's about this high. About, I don't know. And I see her, she comes walking out of the car. She's 90-something. Oh, Nicholas. Just to see us. And there I am with Hudson and the boys. And oh, just touches my heart. She says the same thing when she sees my sister. Not as much, but like a little. No one looks at sin and go, oh, isn't that beautiful? I just love it. No, we don't celebrate that ever. We're broken over that. It makes us sick. Broken lives. Why? Because it could have been prevented. At this point, you know what Israel had? Not much. They had a name, but they had no security. They lost their identity. Proverbs chapter number 25, look there. Proverbs 25. Look at verse 28. He that hath no rule over his own spirit is like a city that is broken down and what? Without walls. One of the glories of Jerusalem was their walls. And now that's gone. You know what sin does? It steals your identity. It steals your security. Makes you very vulnerable. There's no protection. Maybe by your own decisions. Hey, I'm not talking about like God testing you and trying you and there's things beyond your control. No, this is a blatant disobedience to the things of God. And here you sit. Maybe you have sat in this place, ruined and destroyed by sin, and wondering, what on earth do I do now? I've been taken captive by the enemy. My life has been, I have no identity. I have no security anymore. 2 Timothy chapter number 2. Verse 24, and the servant of the Lord must not strive. 2 Timothy 2:24. But be gentle unto all men, apt to teach, patient, and meekness instructing those that oppose themselves. If God peradventure will give them repentance to the acknowledging of the truth. Look at this. And that they may recover themselves out of the snare of the devil, or taken captive by him at his will. Maybe you find yourself living in the land of Babylon, destroyed by sin, no walls anymore, no place to worship God because of your own decisions. Say, what do I do now? That's what's so great about the book of Nehemiah. Because you know what the book of Nehemiah is? It is the story of rebuilding the wall. Oh, it was destroyed! We've lost everything. We have no king. We have no place of worship. We have literally no identity. We've been taken captive by the enemy because of our own doing. So now what? We rebuild. See, what the devil would love for you to do is to stay in the land of captivity, destroyed by sin. But he's got another plan. He's got a plan for you. He's got a building project. And you're it. So what do I do? Nehemiah chapter number 2. Say, Pastor, the book of Nehemiah is somewhat difficult to find, and you keep telling us to go back there. I feel like I've lost a lot of time in this sermon just looking for Nehemiah. Nehemiah chapter number 2 and verse 11. I came to Jerusalem and was there 3 days. This is Nehemiah. And I arose in the night, and I saw, and I and some few men with me, Neither told I any man that what my God had put in my heart to do at Jerusalem. Neither was there any beast with me, save the beast that I rode upon. And I went out by night by the gate of the valley, even before the dragon well, into the dung port, and viewed the walls of Jerusalem, which were broken down, and the gates thereof were consumed with fire. And I went on to the gate of the fountain and to the king's pool, but there was no place for the beast that was under me to pass. Then went I up in the night by the brook and viewed the wall and turned back and entered by the gate of the valley and so returned. What do we got to do? Number one, be honest of the current state. Nehemiah got word that the walls were destroyed. He says, I need to go see. The king sends him out, allows him to take some men. And there he is, walking amongst the rubble, the wreckage, the remnants of what was once great is now nothing but garbage and trash. Hey, if your life has been riddled by sin and you're trying to make that thing look nice, the first thing you need to do is just be honest with God and say, God, I'm a mess. I've broken this whole thing. I've made awful decisions. I've gone against you and against God himself. You need to be honest to the current state. Psalm 51. See, I'm holding my hand in Nehemiah this time. You should. Psalm 51. David the king willfully chose the sin. And these are his words. Verse 3, for I acknowledge my transgressions and my sin is ever before me. Against thee only have I sinned. And Psalm 51, verse 4, and done this evil in thy sight, that thou mayest be justified when thou speakest and be clear when thou judgest. Do you know what the best thing David did? He said, it was me. I did it all. I broke these walls down. I went against you, God. I destroyed that which you built. So how do I rebuild my life? I'm literally a captive of this world. I have no identity. I don't know where I'm going. There's no one that rules this land. Number one, you acknowledge where you're at. Number two, Nehemiah chapter number 2 and verse 4. If you're not there, I'll just read it. Nehemiah 2, 4. Then the king said unto me, for what doest thou make request? So I prayed to the God of heaven. Number 2, if we're going to rebuild, number 1, we have to be honest with our current state. Number 2, we need to pray to the God of heaven. Something miraculous happens by the end of the book of Nehemiah. Say what? And I think it's 52 days, the entire wall of Jerusalem is rebuilt. Say, wow, they must have been really good. God got involved in their life. Say, my life is wrecked by sin, by shame, by guilt. It is you want to talk about a sledgehammer coming to a wall. No. This was like a Josh Bulldozer style. This came in strong, hard, and wiped me out. Well, good news. It can be rebuilt. I don't know about you, but that's the greatest news I've ever heard. Outside of the gospel, knowing that I can be saved, but also that God's mercy, he's got a plan of rebuilding. And that's good news. But we're going to need help. In Psalm 51 and verse 1, he says, have mercy upon me, O God, according to thy loving kindness, according unto the multitude of thy tender mercies. Blot out my transgressions. Wash me throughly from mine iniquity and cleanse me from my sin. God, I'm going to need some help. Hey, if you think you can clean this thing up on your own, you're deceived. If you want to rebuild your life, for the honor and glory of God, number one, you got to be honest with your current state. Number two, you need to get God's help. So what does that look like? Well, as we kind of looked at it, we're going to have to confess. 2 Chronicles chapter number 6. 2 Chronicles chapter number 6. In verse 36, it says, If they sin against thee, for there is no man which sinneth not. Is God surprised when we sin? No. Does he want us to live there, though? Also, no. Now be angry with them and deliver them over before their enemies, and they carry them away captives into a far off or near. Solomon is warning the nation of Israel. He says, if you sin against God and you get taken captive, this is what you need to do. Yet if they bethink themselves in the land whither they are carried captive, see, that's the first part, acknowledging, and turn and pray unto thee. Number two, get some help. You better talk to God. In the land of their captivity, saying, we have sinned, we have done amiss, and have dealt wickedly. If they return to thee with all their heart and with all their soul in the land of their captivity, whither they have carried them captives, and pray toward their land, which thou gavest unto their fathers, and toward the city which thou hast chosen, and toward the house which I have built for them in their name, then hear thou from heaven. You see that? But you got to start by confessing. If we confess our sins, you know what he is? He's faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. But we got to acknowledge it. We got to come to God and say, God, I've made a mess of my life. I've destroyed everything that was good. You know how humbling that is? You know how shameful sin is? Hey, the Lord is forgiving. And the first step to rebuild in our life is to admit and to confess. Before working here at the school, a number of years ago now, I used to do chimney work. And it's not really cool to say that, like, you're a chimney sweep, so I didn't really tell people that. I said I was in restoration. That sounds a lot more popular, or cool. Because people are like, oh, you restore stuff? Oh, yeah, we restore stuff all the time. You break stuff, we fix it. That's kind of what we would do. So once in a while, we'd have to sweep out chimneys. But the majority of my work was like when lightning hits a masonry chimney, lightning wins. I'm just letting you know. Like, if you're looking who wins that, lightning wins. And it blows the whole thing apart, and we would restore it. Or if people have fires and not good working fireplaces, sometimes they burn their walls down. All right? Those are called chimney fires. And we would come in and restore that. Do you understand that God has a restoration process? Hey, there's no one that's too far gone. If the nation of Israel, if God came to them and say, hey, I know you're not where you're supposed to be. You don't even have a king. There's no place to worship and absolutely no protection. And he says, all right, let's get building now. What do you think he can do with your life? So I'm too far gone. Worse than that? You don't understand. You don't know God. 52 days. And we look at our life and go, it is just destroyed by sin. It's going to take a lifetime to fix this. I don't know. They rebuilt the walls of Jerusalem in 52 days. I think we just need to get building. The restoration process. You can't keep doing what you've always done. You're going to have to change something. One brick at a time. You're going to have to start making right decisions. Godly decisions. Hey, the thing that brought the walls down? Stop. Come over here. Go to God's brickyard. And start taking those things and start laying those things around your life. brick by brick by brick. So it's going to take forever. It's going to take a lot longer if you don't start. The last place you want to be is in captivity with no protection. So start. Be honest with God. Pray to the God of heaven. Confess your sin. The Lord's forgiving. And then start doing right. See, that's hard. The first brick is the hardest, I'll tell you. When building, I spent the most amount of time on the first brick. We had to get a good foundation. We had to get everything out of the way. We had to get it square, plumb. And then once you get good corners, then you can go up much quicker. It's going to start slow. But once you get building, you will be surprised how fast things can be rebuilt. So you don't understand how broken 52 days. And then what? Well, you keep doing right. 2 Timothy chapter number 2. Hey, if anybody thinks sin is attractive and beautiful and, hey, I'm going to go give that thing a try, I hope if nothing else from this message you said, I don't want to have to rebuild. I'm going to do my best to stay away from that thing. I know, as the Bible said in 2 Chronicles chapter number 6, and I think it was verse 36 or 37, hey, all men sin, we get it. Be careful how much you allow that sin to destroy your life. If that comes in your life, get that thing out as quickly as possible. 2 Timothy chapter number 2 and verse 21. If a man therefore purge himself from these things, he shall be a vessel unto honor, sanctified, set apart for holy use, clean, right, holy. Listen, you were taken captive, destroyed by your own choices of sin. You had no one ruling you. You had no line of protection. You've lost your identity, and you've had anything good destroyed by sin. So now what do? Well, we confess, we get right, and we begin building, and we keep living right. That's what it says. Sanctified. Meet for the master's use, prepared unto every good work. Not only did they destroy the house of God, they took all the vessels out and destroyed those and kept them in the king's palace. They weren't being used for what they should have been used for. Do you understand that God has a purpose and a plan for you? He wants to use you for something. And when we're in the hands of our captors, we can't be used by the Lord how he wants us to. That's what he wants. He wants us to be sanctified. Number one today, if you're involved in, number one, I guess, would be, hey, don't get involved in sin. Number two, if you're involved in sin, stop. Acknowledge where you're at. And understand this, you're not a lost cause. God's got a restoration process. Start rebuilding. Get clean. Get right. Start laying good things in your life. Keep the walls of protection up. I don't know where you're at here today, but I'm here to tell you that God isn't just the God of rebuilding broken walls, but he's the rebuilder of broken lives. That's what he does. Say, I've made a mess. Well, come to the Lord. That's exactly what he does. The rebuilder of broken lives. Let's all stand. Maybe you're here today and say, I don't want to have to rebuild. I want to stay clean. I want to keep those things out. I think there's some things going on inside my heart. When you read through that passage about perilous times, I could see some things. I want to be careful that I keep the walls of protection up. Anybody like that here today? Uplifted hand. Anybody like that? Sure. Number two, without lifting your hand, maybe someone here today says, sin has destroyed me. It has taken me captive. It has ruined. It has stolen my ability to worship. I'm a mess. I have no walls of protection. I'm captive. All right, let's be honest. Let's identify the state. Let's get right with the Lord and start rebuilding. One brick at a time. If you're like that here today, in the moment the music's going to play, I don't know what's going on inside your heart. But I got great news. God is the rebuilder of broken lives. Heavenly Father, I ask you to bless this time of invitation now. And as you've worked in our hearts, and Lord, through these passages, reminded us of God, you desire holiness, and Lord, help us to live holy. And sin is destructive and ugly and hurtful. Lord, if lives have been, if identity has been stolen here today, that God, we'd be honest and rebuild. Lord, bless this time of invitation now. In Jesus' name, amen. As the music plays, would you consider the message here this morning?